Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 321, the box office report for the week, kind of, sort of, ending 10-4-15. The week will end on that
date, just to be clear.
Hold on.
Yeah, there it is.
See, I wasn't even turned on.
Oh, I see how it is.
And I'm not really not turned on.
Yes. But the week will end on that date, just to be
That's
clear.
That's correct.
It's just we are recording early to accommodate my work travel schedule.
You're saying they don't change the weeks to revolve around our recording schedule?
Not yet.
Okay.
But they will.
We're getting there. Yeah, we're getting there.
One day, we will be that powerful.
By God.
421 is going to be a whole different story.
Yes. Another ballgame. So I am sleepy.
Yeah, you've had a long weekend.
Yeah, I had a concert last night, and it was a Mickey Dolenz concert, so we know how important that
Halloween's own Mickey Dolenz.
Yes, that's what he's known for.
Yeah, right.
Do you play in the Monkees now?
No.
Oh.
But and Mark Lindsay.
And
I was kind of excited to see that.
Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders. It was a, that's a thing for me.
My very first concert.
Was Paul Revere and the Raiders with Mark Lindsay?
It was at the Old Glory Amphitheater, and it was in the 70s, so.
I think that might have been.
I think
he was probably still with them.
They were rocking the Revolutionary.
They still
keyboard that looked like a front of a Studebaker.
Yes,
they had headlights on.
They were in Dr. Teeth and Sunshine Band,
and they have no idea what we're talking about.
Not at all.
I can picture a keyboard on the front of a Studebaker.
Oh, that helps.
And they still do that. So there's two versions. So Mark Lindsay was the lead singer, and then Paul Revere was like the guitar player
or the keyboardist.
Maybe he's the keyboardist.
And okay. So
Mark Lindsay went solo, but then there's still a version of Paul Revere and the Raiders out the tour, so they're kind of competing properties.
Yeah, but mine is sneaky.
Paul Revere. Is he dead now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
he died a long time ago.
Not that one.
The British are coming.
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 years ago.
They're not even breathing hard. I didn't realize he had died. So okay, you would think that then Mark Lindsay would have figured out a way to get the name back, and then he would tour
Or maybe he just doesn't give a crap.
Maybe I don't know, but
he's had a pretty solo career.
Recently,
and it's interesting because I know that in Mark Lindsay's solo career, like he went and did a solo record, and then the record label, this is in the '70s, the record label was like, "Well, we'll release it, but you got to call it Paul Revere and the Raiders."
Damn,
it was like, and then for a while, I think it became Mark Lindsay and Paul Revere and the Raiders.
It's a long name.
We always had a rule.
And.
That's like a legal firm. What are you doing? But so for the kids listening, their probably biggest song was
"Hungry."
I was going to say Indian Reservation. Cherokee people.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, or Just Like Me. See, I go back on those, but yeah. they and he get a lot of airplay on Little Steven's Underground Garage, so I think he's had a Mark Lindsay's had a kind of a little bit of a bump and his listenership.
In the same way, the Monkees have like some indie cred and some indie people that can't stand them. Paul Revere and the Raiders are kind of the same way, because they had a show back in the day called Where the Action Is, and it was on
like a TV show.
Yeah, like a TV show. It was kind of like let's do the Monkees again, and but it wasn't like a plot driven thing, right? It was more like a variety show with some sketch comedy.
It's kind of like the Hudson Brothers, Comedy Hour.
Again,
that goes
deep. What is happening?
Yeah.
So this is the Rock and Pop Soda Shop podcast.
That goes Little Dance Garage.
Yeah. Yeah. Hudson Brothers. So you would watch the Hudson Brothers as a kid, at least locally, because they would air on Sunday mornings.
Yes. Instead of Saturday mornings?
Right. So Saturday mornings were cartoons. Sunday mornings were a bunch of religious boring stuff.
And wrestling.
And wrestling.
Yes.
Wrestling. So who the hell would want to watch either one of those things?
Lots of people.
And so if you were a discerning nerd like Dan and I, you would watch the Hudson Brothers.
Yes.
Remember that show where there was a guy that he was in the basement of a building, and
it was called Wayne's World.
He had this giant TV that he would. It was called like the something movie machine or something. You remember what I'm talking about?
That sounds rude.
I think he kind of looked like Doug Henning.
Yeah.
Was this in the not so distant future?
No, it was he would show like lots of like old like newsreel clips, but like kind of
random.
It was weird. I don't know what it was called.
Stuff that was in the public
domain.
The Hudson
Brothers. One, I don't know which Hudson brother is the father of Kate Hudson. Former spouse of Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And now she calls Kurt Russell dad.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's, I mean, just
that's
because
real. Like,
that divorce is, I mean,
that's,
it was
well,
a
that's
long,
old. Like, she,
long,
he's been in her ago. Life
but
since she was
but they're,
a
they're all still
child.
All, like,
you
close.
Know, I don't know if I've ever realized that. Like,
Kurt
obviously,
Russell
I know Goldie Hawn's the mom, and I know they're not married, but for some reason, I guess I just thought that
because,
she was their daughter.
Well, Kurt Russell had kids with Season Hoobly.
Yeah.
Hoobly.
Yeah, but she also, like, I think Kate Hudson has said he's been in my life since I was three.
Maybe why I thought so. It may as well be. I guess I didn't know it wasn't biological.
No,
that's interesting.
No.
That Kurt Russell, he's going places.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
One can only hope. Dr. Loomis. Halloween 2018. Let's do it.
Are you just like making things up?
Oh, yeah, totally. I made that up. Yeah.
I just keep hoping for that delayed sequel to the computer wore tennis shoes.
The iPhone wore tennis shoes?
Well, then, wait a minute. There was the Dexter Riley trilogy. There was computer wore tennis shoes. Now you see them, now you don't. And then the World's Strongest Man.
That was
those
all Kurt
were
Russell?
All those were all the same character?
They were all Dexter Riley.
I didn't realize that. Huh. I mean, I saw them when I was kids, but when I was a kid, but it didn't click for me. I knew it was all Kurt Russell, but I didn't remember they were
the
same character.
The barefoot assistant, the chimp one,
right.
was not Dexter Riley.
So
but it was
these
still
are
Kurt
the
Russell.
Early Kurt
is,
Russell
yeah.
Disney movies.
Right.
Yeah,
this
and
is show the Disney
a,
kid.
To show you what a gifted actor Kurt Russell is, he played the chimp.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
He's a hell of an actor.
Yeah. That chiseled jaw on that chimp, though, gave it away.
That perfectly coiffed hair.
Away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coiffed fur. Awesome.
Coiffed fur. Sorry. Oh, correct. Yeah.
Awesome movies.
Yeah. The chimp had a
better
cleft chin.
I don't know. Yeah. You mean the chimp, the real chimp,
the
or
chimp,
Kurt Russell?
Yeah. Well, when Kurt Russell played
I see. Yes.
That was
yes.
the giveaway.
Right.
That was the giveaway.
The perfectly
Caesar Romero
chimp.
Was in a couple of them as the heavy.
Interesting.
Really?
I mean,
it was heavy in the
Disney heavy.
The Disney way. It was
did he have a mustache?
He was gonna knock down the roller rink kind of a guy.
He's Caesar Romero.
Of course he had a mustache.
He didn't shave his mustache for Joker. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No, just put white paint in it. Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's the I love that the Funko Pop figure has the little lines.
Oh, does it?
So just to, you know, because it's so
that's
iconic.
Funny.
I love that they put the little plastic lines.
I bet you if you gave that dude chemo, he'd still have a mustache.
It's probably just like that mustache is like no.
I mean, his corpse has a mustache right now.
No, I'm
it's
not
a skeleton.
I'm not leaving this face. It's so funny. Like I feel like on standard TV, you probably don't see the mustache as clearly.
Probably
now that you have the 1080p
it's really
Blu-ray.
Pronounced on
Batman
just
the
like
movie
HD.
In the theater. Though they were like, "What? He didn't shave for this?"
Jim Brown's like, "No.
We gave him theater money. Come on, this is a feature film.
We paid him scale.
Pony up."
I still love the feeling when I figured out that Mickey from Rocky was the Penguin from Batman 66.
It's a small victory
Burgess.
For you, isn't it?
Yeah, Burgess Meredith. But no, but it's, you know what I mean. Like growing up, didn't.
He also can't read after a nuclear holocaust.
Also,
that's just sad.
But he has all the time in the world.
The Twilight
time.
Right.
Oh man, what a heartbreaker.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. I'm pretty sure he can fumble around and find some glasses. So he's, got a, he's got a lot of time.
Did they not have large print editions in the 50s?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, no, if you can't read this, you're dead to society.
Yeah.
Have you seen the keyboards?
Learn Braille, bitch.
Right.
You know they make computer keyboards with the keys that are like 3 inches by 3 inches.
Yeah. Just
like,
you just need two people to type a letter.
I bought my grandma one of those TV remotes.
My grandma had the phone.
Yeah, where it was like the TV remote. Like it was like the size of an iPad, but with like 6 buttons.
I have one. Someone bought me that as a Christmas gift as a joke. But you know what? Never lost it.
Yeah.
That
well,
true.
That's fair.
Not unlike your virginity.
No. He has
his son.
Does he?
That's true. That's fair.
can we make an identical twin?
Are we allowed to make ex-wife jokes on your behalf?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Make it sure.
Oh.
So we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Some quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it.
Drum roll, please.
I forgot to open iTunes.
Yay.
You were too busy going into your music, you know,
movie
art,
rectangle?
History.
He's
yes.
Going through the history of Paul Revere and the Raiders. This is the riveting sort of conversations that has shot us to the top of the iTunes.
That's right.
iTunes
That's
charts.
Right.
We're still featured on the front page,
yes.
Right? Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Take that, This American Life.
You ain't got nothing on us.
Yeah, they asked to be guests, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm like, Ira, I don't know.
Look, man, you're no.
I was like, how much do you know about Paul Revere and the Raiders? Can you keep up? Like,
we don't want your hippy dippy millennial bull.
We're gonna be
on the show.
He's not a millennial.
No, I know he's not.
I was like, we might be doing a deep dive on the zombies. Can you keep up?
And he was like, the movie Zombie?
So
no.
I have iTunes pulled up.
No. Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
You're right. We don't
have
it. Because he looked.
I didn't look.
I got to stop. I got to stop. He looked.
Final answer.
Don't forget, you can join the League of Show Sharers. Facebook.com/real spoilers. It was a long night.
Real poilers.
Real poilers. Yeah. That probably works, too.
Do I have to buy that now, too?
And dirty spirit hookers.
Spiteful hookers. We should probably own that one.
Yeah, somebody already bought
redundant.
That.
Redundant. Yeah. That's redundant. So people who were kind enough to share the show this week. Librarian Cynthia, Julian Jordan, Chris James, Griffin Fox Smith, Lane Levanway, Brad Hyen, or if I go with my typo here, Bray Hyen.
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, yeah.
Apparently, he's secretly a billy goat.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
So explains the hair.
It does.
Zach Bach, Troy Anspow, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders.
Oh, wow.
I'll do this one.
You want
to
read those?
Yeah. Can you take this over? Where was I at? Oh, Chris Sandin. That's right. Dustin.
Yeah, that guy gets a new leak shower song.
Oh, yeah,
like, that's what.
Whenever
that is.
I mispronounce a name, Dan has to have a new song. Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. Tom Comiskey, Jason Weese, Brent Smith, Brandon Coleman, Linnea Thunsell, Jason Michael, Timmy Two Zunes, and Chris Man.
Magic Man.
Magic Man.
Now, so Troy, this is like his second or third week, but you weren't here, so he needs a song. Troy and.
Hans Pow?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Come on. You got Pow in
there. Wow. You just said wow.
Yeah. While struggling to figure out what rhymes with Pow, you said
Troy.
Wow, and you're still struggling.
Hey, Troy. What a boy. Kapow. Wow.
There we go.
Yeah, so,
all right.
That was worth the wait, wasn't it, Troy?
Totally
worth the wait. So there. I've done all our due diligence. We will now. Oh, Kevin has his finger
one more
up.
Time. Do you guys ever realize we don't do it often, but when we record on Saturday, it's a completely different show than Sunday.
Yeah.
It always is. Every time we do it on Saturday, we're just like wired differently.
Yeah, we are. It's because we're missing church.
That's also true.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We don't feel so ashamed.
Wouldn't say I'm missing it.
I'm not missing it. No.
So
I haven't been in
two
my
weeks?
Daughter's six. So 6 years.
I mean,
I'm supposed to go on Christmas Eve. Like,
was that it? You just prayed and prayed until your daughter was born.
Yeah.
And then she was born. You're like, nope, don't eat it.
It's so funny. Like, I remember, so she was born in May. And I remember, like, Christmas was coming up.
I would hope you'd remember that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Give or take a few months. And I remember being like, oh, we can't go to Christmas Mass. She's only 6 months old. It's 10:30. That's insane. I can't go.
Can't do that
was
to
6 years ago.
Yeah.
I've never been back. That was,
that
was my last
your
one.
Weak
like, it was the last
excuse that
yeah.
stuck.
Yep. And I'm sticking to it. She's going to be 13. Be like, no.
And
no.
how long did you like sort of like mentally build the case in your head? Like
the day my wife found out she was pregnant.
He did the math. This is going to work. Yeah, this gets me out of church.
Got it. I don't have to go to church.
Yeah. Kids get people out of church. Isn't that how that works?
Yeah. Either you kick people out of the church for getting pregnant. It's fine.
Depending on when.
Yeah, that's true.
Or how.
Yeah.
Well, Joe's going to go say three Hail Marys and whip himself with the thing. And
yeah.
Then
So anyway, we've done all that stuff. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready.
I do, Tom, and it's one of those special Saturday half-loaded abacai. Is that abacai?
I don't know.
Abacab.
Genesis?
Abaki.
Abaku.
But, yeah.
Well, Abba Uber. Or Abba Lyft.
That's also true.
Instead of abacab.
Yeah, abacab.
Yeah.
There you so we'll do
I'll just keep explaining the joke. I'm not above it.
Yeah.
Not above it.
Got it.
Darren Aronofsky ain't got crap on me.
Yes.
So the number one movie.
Does this mean I have to eat Phil Collins?
Yes, it does. Yes. From the toes up.
I did not think this through.
Damn, the maracas right there, just in case you...
Yeah, I don't even want to... I'm just trying to skip past that colorful visual.
Yeah, you missed the episode where it was nothing but eating baby jokes.
Yeah, I know.
Killing baby jokes.
Killing babies and eating babies.
Pennywise that eats babies.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, my maraca sense was tingling.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad that was not in the movie.
Oh, I wish it had been in the movie.
Oh, man.
Just to steal Darren Aronofsky's thunder. Yeah. Wouldn't that have been great if, like, the week before Mother opens, there's a major Hollywood movie where they're like, oh, you killed a baby? We ate a baby. Suck it.
And they're just like, yeah, but we tried to eat a baby. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Simpsons did it.
Yeah, Simpsons did it first.
But yeah, so the number one movie of the week is the one we're talking about next episode. So it beat out Blade Runner, which is in its second week in release.
Wow. That's terrible. It's terrible that this movie...
Well, it's Friday the 13th.
That's all really good, but it's Blade Runner. Like, that should have at least had 2 weeks.
This movie's for kids. I mean...
No, that's true. It's a PG-13.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't care about Blade Runner.
No, that's true.
That's all their nerdy dad likes.
Yeah, right.
Well, this movie had a $5 million budget,
that
I believe.
Sounds about right.
And, looks it. Yep,
and
looks it.
$20 million opening weekend. So
wow.
Blumhouse special.
Blumhouse, yeah.
That's what that is. They got the formula down,
they
man.
Do.
They got it down.
I joke about the new Halloween movie, but, like, I really hope they don't shoot themselves in the foot and give it a massive budget, not massive, but like a larger than needed budget, and they aren't able to recoup it.
Yeah, I mean, horror films, as we've seen, like there's a reason why Blumhouse, does it on the cheap.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need all that, and if it's a good movie, it's going to make $100 million.
Yep.
So,
well, what's funny about the remake is that when they,
it's not a
if
remake.
They follow,
it's it no, it's not a remake. Huh? It's a
spiritual.
It's another. It's supposed to. It's so confusing because Laurie Strode's back, even though they killed her in 8.
Okay.
So I think this is so like H2O is supposed to pick up at, it's like it's 20 years after 2.
Okay.
So like they ignore 3 through 6.
Okay.
But they kill her, but she's going to be in this new movie.
They kill her in 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she's coming back.
But do we know that she's back?
I mean,
or is
the,
it like,
the promo image of her that they have released is her wearing the old Laurie Strode costume, like from the first movie.
She's older.
Introducing. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean.
But I mean, what I mean is it's not a flashback to.
Not that I'm aware
of. I mean, she's current age, but
yeah,
in that.
There's talk of them casting Judy Greer as her daughter.
Wait a minute.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
that's. No, that's, she's.
Right, so Laurie Strode has had 2 children and a grandchild.
Uh-huh.
In these movies.
But can I ask you a question real quick? And I don't know if anyone's even thought about this, but Laurie Strode was how many years ago? 30?
No,
what was that?
1978.
Okay, so 30, 29 years ago? Is that what? 70?
I was born in 82.
40.
And I'm 35.
40 years ago. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Okay, so 40 years ago. I mean, what is she? Peter Griffin? Like, why would she be wearing the same cot? Who keeps her clothes
for 40 years? I think that was just a promo image to say that she's back as Laurie Strode.
But, you know, like, that doesn't even make sense 40 years later to wear the same outfit.
Yeah, but I mean, the outfit was like a blue button-up shirt and jeans. Like, it's not like it's...
I think they should just do a remake.
They did in 2007.
No, Carpenter should be... I mean,
Carpenter, he's involved. Yeah, he's executive producing. I don't know what it is. So, from what I understand, it's going to pick up after 2. Like, it's going to follow the 2 storyline. So, I have no idea. But, yeah, hopefully they don't overspend and get themselves into a... I think it was like the 5th Paranormal Activity,
yeah,
where they spent a bunch of money and didn't.
I think they're going to overspend just by the lunch that they're going to spend
for Carpenter
trying to figure out when this movie's set.
Yeah, it's set in 2018.
Jamie Lee Curtis back. I can't even imagine what the budget is going to be just for Activia.
That's right. It's not where I thought that was going, but that's way tamer than where I thought we were going with it.
Gender reassignment surgery joke.
She looked good in True Lies.
Yeah.
And Trading Places.
Trading Places.
Ooh,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that's a perfect segue into the top 10 highest budgets on horror films of all time.
Interesting.
Van Helsing, number 1.
Oh, my
one.
God. What a pile. Hey, look, that's the guy from Iron Fist.
Yeah. $222 million. World War Z adjusted, $201 million.
Yeah, but that had reshoots, right?
They reshot that whole end. Yeah. They threw away, I think, like $45 million
and reshot that whole end of the movie.
And reshot at the ending, I think, for like eight or 12.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why the ending, if you remember, it gets smaller, right? They go into almost like a single room.
Yeah, they go into the
correct.
The lab or whatever.
World Health Organization.
Yeah.
But it was honestly
better.
Better.
It was better than
it would have been
what
better.
We know was the movie.
Yeah.
People
absolutely. Was
it that episode?
The Matthew Fox ending?
Yes.
Yeah.
And these are adjusted, so I guess they're just bringing them up to modern times to compare them fairly. I Am Legend, number 3, with $188 million budget.
Was that can you consider that his last big hit?
Was that a hit?
I think it was.
I think it was.
Was it?
I think it was the tail end of his being able to open a massive movie.
That was the end of Mr. July.
It was the end of Mr. July, yeah.
End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I like that. I like
$170 million.
It's awful, but I like that
I have not seen it. That's Gabriel Byrne, right?
I think so, yeah.
The Wolfman with $164 million. Adjusted the new one.
I just rewatched that.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Were you scared?
No.
I think it was the CGI, so here's the
transformation, right?
Yeah. So the transformations are CGI. Mm-hmm. When he gets into the wolf, it's all practical, and it's... Like, it's a violent movie. Like, it is. I forgot how violent it was because he's, like, ripping limbs off and tearing out guts. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Going back on a rewatch.
What Lies Beneath, $160
million. Oh,
brought in almost $300 million worldwide, though.
That's when he could open a movie.
Yeah. Is that...
That's Harrison Ford.
I know.
That's
a
horror movie. Yeah,
but I was gonna say I don't think it's a horror movie.
No, it's not.
That's a thriller.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they lump these thrillers.
Yeah, it's a thriller. If you've never seen the trailer,
if you haven't seen the trailer,
yeah,
it's a classic trailer. Screwed it
trailer,
up.
Trailer dupe.
Worst one.
Yeah.
Number 7, Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon.
What a crazy! Like, there is a super uncomfortable rape scene in that movie.
Yeah,
that's not fun to watch.
As opposed
at all.
To the comfortable rape scenes.
That's true.
As opposed to the comfortable hiding a scalpel in your butt when he's trying to rape you. Wasn't that him too?
Did he hit a scalpel in his butt?
Not him, but the girl. There's a movie where Kevin Bacon is trying to...
Friday the 13th? No.
You know, get frisky with someone.
Oh, I don't know.
The girl
I've never
has
heard
to
of
hide
that.
A
Animal House?
No, I don't think it's that one. But the girl has to hide a scalpel like in her butt and... To cut him when, yeah.
It's a Harvey Weinstein story.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
That's the only one I've got. I'm not going to do anymore. That's the only one I got.
Going to touch the Morocco on that one.
Number 8, Sphere.
That's also starring Jamie Lee Curtis, right?
Also not a horror movie.
No.
Okay.
$148 million. Prometheus. I mean, that's...
That's not a horror movie
that's
either.
That's not a horror movie.
What kind of bullshit list did you find? No, I do think...
Maybe they're horror-ish.
I think these websites tend to clump in...
I mean, I get that it's a spinoff
Alien,
of Aliens,
so, yeah.
But...
Right.
Or Alien,
yeah, okay.
Sorry. But but that movie, by that point, this isn't a horror movie.
No, it's a sci-fi movie.
That's true. Yeah. So that was 141, and then they have...
I mean, the Alien franchise hasn't been a horror movie since the first one.
Correct.
Exactly.
The second one wasn't a horror movie.
Nope. Straight up action.
It's an action movie.
That's true. Yeah.
And a good one.
The big reason the first one worked so well is because it wasn't a surprise horror movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know.
Right.
You thought you were watching sci-fi.
Right.
And then, I'm in a horror movie.
And they tricked you.
Crap.
Where, what was the Sean Connery one where you thought you were seeing a sci-fi movie and you
Nemesis?
No. Around the same time.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Outlander.
Is that Highlander?
No, not Highlander.
Highlander.
they're in space.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Yep.
Oh.
I can picture that box.
Exodus.
Existential.
But
not like
that was around the same time though.
But it's a really High Noon.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Outland.
Outland.
You're right.
I was close.
Feel like that had to have come out around.
Actually, a pretty enjoyable movie.
Yeah. Because I remember Blockbuster seeing
Existence is like in the 90s. This one's from like the.
This is from like late 70s.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I really like that movie.
But it's really High Noon.
But it's a Western.
It's a Western.
Sci-fi Western.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And their number 10 that they have is The Haunting. I guess that actually counts as a horror.
That's an all right movie. It's got Haunt in the title. Yeah. I'll allow it.
Which one? Wait.
That's 136 million, and it made 170 million.
Who's in that one?
That's starring Catherine Zeta-Jones, Liam Neeson, and Owen Wilson.
What's the other one I'm thinking of?
What's the one?
That's where Owen Wilson gets his head popped off. Spoiler.
What's the one? Ty Diggs and Famke Jensen. Is it The House on Haunted Hill?
It might have been.
Okay.
They were doing a lot of that.
Oh, she is. You're right.
They started making a lot of these sort of remakes of the William Castle movies.
Yeah,
which is funny because. Those are enjoyable.
The Castle movies?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're also, I mean, there's a certain amount of cheese and naivety.
Like with the creepy zombie lady, like on the roller thing.
Yeah. But then they made these like sort of like serious versions of those. Mm-hmm. And it's like, those don't,
well, they had,
they don't work.
They had like that 90s sheen on them.
Yes.
And let's
CGI. You know,
CGI, and they were like wet. Everything was, the walls were wet. Everything was wet for no reason.
They were just happy to be there.
Oh, if you watch them now, you're just like, I mean, they're enjoyable and how bad. Yeah. Like they have aged so poorly.
Yes.
And that's the one I think with Lily Tyler.
No, I think The House on Haunted Hill's the one with Lily Tyler.
Okay.
Yes.
You're right, because then there was 13 Ghosts. They did that also.
13 Ghosts is also
all of these at the same time.
Starring the guy from Monk.
And I think we all know Lily Tyler can't be in a good horror movie. I think we all know that.
Conjuring?
I was kidding.
Oh, I was like, are you serious? That's a great horror movie.
But, so. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's just bad.
They did. Like, that was, that may have been, like, the beginning of those 90s remakes. 90s, early 2000s remakes. Because they remade everything.
The big budget. And those should be on this list that Kevin's using, because those are the big budget bad horror movies
Of
the 90s.
That was the they have the Michael Bay. I think Michael Bay did Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Something else.
But all these movies came right before Saw.
Yep. Well, yeah. Scream too.
And
Scream's like 96.
Oh, yeah, this, yeah.
They came before Saw, because when Saw came out, it was like, "Wait, we can do it really, really cheap?"
Yeah.
Which is like that messy blood.
Just like a guy in a room.
That's all we got to do. All right.
I still that first Saw I enjoyed.
It's a good movie.
I mean, because it was psychological. You know, you were actually
I've never seen any of them.
So the first one is like, if you don't mind gore, there's a good story,
but there's
there,
actually, but there's suspense.
So the first
one, it was about home renovation.
It's not.
And so I was
That's what you thought about Texas Chainsaw too,
yeah,
right?
Right. Yeah, right. Just like, yeah.
It's Tim Allen.
There's only so much Bob Vila you can take.
Right. I'm like, it's Tim Allen and Al.
I thought it was this old haunted house.
There it is. Yeah. And scene. But that that list was brought to you by wheresthejump.com. So if you have any
Where's the Jump that's stupid.
I think they should change the name of it to where's the point of this list. What happened to the theme we're on?
I think you know what the word horror means.
Yeah.
We don't want
most expensive horror movies ever made. Yeah. Gone with the Wind. Because slavery was the true horror.
When you let the intern make the list during the weekend shift.
Yeah. I got it. Put it up.
So
I've been out drinking since 7 a.m., but I figured it out.
And so, as we mentioned before, Happy Death Day did bump Blade Runner in its second week in release. It brought in $15.7 million. So that movie is only at $67 million domestic on a $150 million budget. It made another $50 overseas, but you're talking around not even $120 yet.
It's not close to
that budget.
On a
$150, and again, they have to double to triple it to make a profit. So it just, I mean, they sunk a lot of money into that movie to have it not make hardly
they're gonna blame him too. Like they're going to, like, that Hollywood will never, like, producers and studios will never shoulder the blame for anything. They will always put it, just like real life, the lower level guys are the guys that are always going to catch the blame, and he's going to catch the blame.
Are
for
you talking about Villeneuve?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How though? He's made so many. He that made a rival.
That doesn't mean anything.
Like, and Sicario, and Prisoners.
But I mean, we all know that Hollywood is of the "what have you done for me lately" mentality, and the fact that they, like, the higher execs will never take responsibility for putting out garbage, for allowing garbage movies to be put out.
But this isn't a garbage movie.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to blame him for it underperforming.
I didn't even particularly care for it, but it is certainly not a garbage movie.
It is not a garbage movie. But I mean, like, you know, the Man of Steels and the Suicide Squads. Where
those are garbage movies.
Yes. Yeah. Where they just, like, they
made
don't,
money.
Yeah, but those.
That's the problem.
I mean, you have to understand, like, if you're going to do a remake of Blade Runner, that you keep narrowing your
sequel.
Audience.
Right.
Sorry. I meant sequel. But you keep narrowing. Like,
no, that's, yeah.
Blade Runner's got a fairly narrow audience, and then you get even more narrow when you're like, we're going to do a sequel. How many years later?
So 35, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, they have to know that, like, you've already closed off a lot of people.
I'm wondering if they thought that this was going to open that door.
And adding Ryan Gosling doesn't mean that you're just suddenly be like, well, I never saw the original. Let's go.
That's what they thought. I mean, Gosling has to be in it because of the star power. You know, he is a popular, you know, and especially the younger audience. And
yes,
I think they thought it would bring it to the mainstream.
He saved jazz, Kevin.
He did.
Yeah.
Him and Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Now, that was good. I did like that. But speaking of movies that are sequels quite a bit of years apart from the original, what do you think happened with Evil Dead? Because that remake I thought was really good and made a lot of money.
I think they have, I mean, that whole group, because that was within the team. It wasn't outside of.
Yeah.
Raimi was heavy on.
But Scott was heavy on Blade Runner.
But,
you know,
but they also have Ash versus Evil Dead. You know,
that came out after.
No. I know. I think they just you diverted their attention, because then they were like, we're going to do a new Ash movie, and then that turned into like, well, or we could do a series.
Yeah.
And
I also,
and a series. I'm like, God, if you haven't seen it,
it was great.
So freaking
it's exactly what you wanted.
Corey.
Yeah, but it's what you wanted.
I mean, it's a comic book level.
Absolutely,
like, just
I think
ridiculous.
I think horror, because this wasn't a sequel, because Evil Dead wasn't a sequel, it was a reboot. You didn't have that stigma of people be like, well, where's Ash? Where's Bruce Campbell?
Exactly.
Like which was great. Like, for the people who stuck around, spoilers. There's an after credit. Stinger.
I couldn't remember if that really happened or that was a deleted scene.
No, it happened.
Because the deleted scene was he was going to be walking down the road. He was going to pick her up in the car.
The original idea is she's going to be leaving the cabin and he's going to pick her up.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then we're going to go from there.
But after the credits, he just
says groovy.
Yeah.
There's no emotional attachment to that movie, right? Like, they're not pooping on. You're welcome, Kevin. Mm-hmm. the legacy of the Evil Dead franchise. They're not doing, they're just doing their own story. So, and they did a really good story.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, like, there's nothing holding them back.
Yeah. I think that. Honestly, as a production company, like, they're looking at their resources and where they could get a decent return and sort of like sustain.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we can do this, or we can do this, or we can do this. And they stumbled into, like, let's do this deal with Stars. And I think they're going to get a third season.
Are they?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's like, they were just like, you know what? And there's a small group. It's not like this is like a major studio.
Right.
And I think they just kind of like, it just kind of stumbled into, let's just do that versus like trying to, they're able to keep that going versus like, I mean, now could they even do a sequel?
I mean, you could. You could do Old Man Ash.
Well, like, I mean,
it's possible,
a sequel
to the
remake. Which I think is why they just kind of like, they went with whatever sustain. Honestly, they're sustaining their careers.
You could say it's something. I mean, you could do it. Like, you just say the evil is out there in the woods.
So you think about, this is a team that's worked together since the 70s.
Sure, yeah.
And they are looking at what keeps them employed.
Yep.
They're doing the thing.
The con circuit. That's what keeps them employed.
That's what they're doing.
It's cool.
And doing the series is keeping them employed.
All of them.
What's cool, though, is that, I mean, you're talking about these movies that from, you know, the original one was like 80 or 81.
No, it was like
I don't think it was the 70s. Early 80s, I believe.
It may have been.
But anyway, I'll look it up. But 83. So, but, you know, it had that huge cult following, but then it kind of went away. I mean, it was always a cult following, but the fact that they were able to reboot it and now have a series, but that's good, that's quality.
Not like, only did they make a sequel to it, but they rebooted the movie.
Yeah.
Like the,
They
did their own reboot.
Yeah. The second
time. Called it the second movie.
Yeah.
They
invented the reboot.
They did. Yeah.
I don't know that anyone's done that.
Probably true. Let's do that again, but a little bit better.
We'll get a little bit higher budget. Yeah.
Well,
and then they did it again.
Was it before
the third time
or after Road Warrior? Because Road Warrior is kind of that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the second Mad Max is.
Is it not a sequel?
It's a sequel, but it's kind of like. Hey, remember when?
It's kind of a reboot at the same time.
And they show like snippets of the first movie.
Yeah.
Road Warrior is 81, so I mean, they're a year apart.
Like,
yeah. But I mean, they definitely like, they're like, let's make it again, but better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yes.
It's definitely better.
Well, I will say that. So last night I saw Evil Dead the Musical. And if you are a fan of Evil Dead, it is hilarious. They combine the first act is basically the first movie. The second act is the second movie. And like Ash changes. He's more badass in the second act. And like, it's just great. It follows the movies and it's fantastic. And they have Army of Darkness references just sprinkled.
That's cool.
I think it plays in Vegas full time. And now they're doing a North American tour. So if you can catch it, however, it's hilarious. It is one of the funniest shows. And it's a musical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a
The musical. I saw Friday the 13th Part 6.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. So anyway, but that's Blade Runner. So unfortunately, it's underperforming. So we'll see what happens there. Number three. This is another new movie this week. The Foreigner. That's Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
director of GoldenEye.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep. And Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Good. What's his face? Yeah. The GoldenEye.
Man, I guess
Casino
I always forget that who did the last three. Is it Sam Mendes?
Two.
Sam Mendes. Did the last two?
Two.
He did.
He just did, Skyfall and he came back for Spectre.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But anyway, because I think the Quantum of Solace maybe and Casino Royale were the same guy that did GoldenEye. But
okay.
Why can't I think of that guy's name?
Is it Simon Kinberg? Is that right?
No, that's
Simon
the producer.
Kinberg is the producer of the X-Men stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but we'll look it up. But did anyone see The Foreigner?
Nope.
Okay. There is a review. Jason Weese wrote a review on Review STL.
What an American.
Yeah.
Spath
said that it was boring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But again, it's Brian Spath, so.
You know.
The only person who's perhaps more jaded than I
That's
am.
True.
That's true.
We always used to think it was Tom, and then we met Brian Spath.
Yes.
But the director of GoldenEye, Martin Campbell.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
So,
I would have never come up with that.
He did Zorro, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did Zorro. He did.
The Gay Blade?
Not the Gay
Blade. Yes. He did
Green
Lantern. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, he's had great movies.
He's had Green Lantern. Well, so he narrowly escaped movie jail.
Very close. I think he got put on a long term parole.
He was a parole.
Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson. Isn't that the one that was actually kind of
It was all right.
Cool.
It's like, his daughter is killed and he comes back.
It's like a payback type.
It's
a revenge. Yeah. I thought that was actually pretty
It's a remake of a British TV show.
Gotcha. Well, The Foreigner opened with $10.5 million domestically. It has $88 million foreign. So
$66 million of it in China on week one. For real.
Really?
Is that that's
makes
what happens
sense.
When you're Jackie
I mean,
Chan.
Jackie Chan, yeah.
Like, so, he's a legend.
Jackie Chan. Let me wreck it, Jackie Chan.
So we're talking about around $98 million, call it $100 million on a $35 million budget. You can't argue with that.
No, hell no. So, it's Jackie Chan's Taken is basically
there
what
you
it
go.
Is.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Coming in at number four, I mean, I think this is perfect for the weekend that involves Friday the 13th.
It should be number one.
What
is? What's the number four?
Oh, it is.
No, but what is?
Yeah, it is.
What?
It's on second.
What?
No, who's
first
on base?
It's on
who's
fourth. On
fifth? Yeah. Third base. Wait a minute.
It's on fourth. it went home. Capital IT made $6.1 million, a 39% drop, bringing the domestic total to $315 million. Joe, overseas?
Ooh.
315 here. You can't just squint and look at the screen.
This isn't iTunes reviews. Yeah.
I'm
going
to say over two.
Three.
Oh, all right.
306. So you're talking about, you know, $630 million on a $35 million budget.
That's weird. If they could have got this to digital before Halloween.
They probably they still can probably at least get the movie
but
out there.
It's number four at the theater. Like yeah, they don't
I mean,
even
I know. I mean,
still,
I just wonder like if you were to weigh it, like which way
I think they would make the most. But when it comes out though, this is so popular, will people just buy it anyway at 20th pop? You know what I mean? Like even if it's not Halloween, this movie I think is just going
to
be a.
It's weird to like he. There's been a lot of Stephen King stuff in the last 3 months.
Yeah.
So you had that. I mean, you had Dark Tower. Then you had
He's
this.
Everywhere.
Then you had Gerald
He's
Game.
He's got like two shows too.
And then Castle Rock.
Castle Rock
is all like it's all on
and
the way.
And the other, the Gerald. One that's on one of the premium cable. Crud, it's one of his newer books, I think.
Oh,
I'll have to look it up. But
well, Gerald's Game is on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but there's a show though. There's an actual series.
Oh, well, there was that James Franco show.
That was awful.
That was last.
Like, it's still
like,
out there.
I gave up. I watched the first two, maybe three, and that book was so good. And then I was like, "This is all ass stuff."
And I finished it.
Did you?
Yeah.
How much did they change? Did it get worse?
Yeah. It just was. Meh.
What is it? What
11/22/63?
Yeah.
Oh, time, is it still on?
I mean, it's on Hulu. It's always on.
No. I just it's a one season.
This is like the '80s. Again with Stephen King where he started like he was just popped up everywhere. It's awesome
when it's done right
because and it's like we've seen that
we've seen it
right and wrong in the same stretch
well, apparently
of time.
Gerald's Game is really good.
No, I'm just thinking like between Dark Tower.
Oh, sure,
and
sure,
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hopefully, this will open the door to be like, oh,
that's how you do it.
That right,
Pet Sematary reboot, right?
Not even that, but I mean like Needful Things and Salem's Lot and
Maximum Overdrive,
Stand By Me.
I said Pet Sematary. That works. No, the
don't
exact
touch
same thing.
Stand there, by there me. Are certain things you don't touch.
Right.
Stand By Me and Shawshank are probably,
don't touch those.
Yeah,
Misery.
Misery. Yeah, that's probably true.
So yeah, it making it. IT, Stephen King's IT department.
Did you turn it on and off?
Yes. The Mountain Between Us came in at number 5. I believe that opened last week. It took a 45% drop, made about $5.8 million. Maybe it's week 3, but it's at $21 million. That's Idris Elba and Kate Winslet. It's a sequel to Alive, I believe. They get stuck on a mountain. I don't know. There's a dog.
It's a sequel to Alive.
I think they did a campaign to let everybody know the dog lives.
Yeah.
Because they got feedback from people. Like,
really?
They didn't want to go because they were afraid the dog wasn't going to live. And so they had to do a thing like, the dog lives. It's okay.
Don't worry.
Oh, they did a campaign like that for that Super Pig movie on Netflix.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about?
Super Pig.
The one with... not Annie Hathaway. Who am I thinking of?
Did you just call Annie Hathaway a pig?
No, there's that it's the hybrid pig. It's a movie that's on Netflix, and they actually did a campaign.
Oka.
Yes. And they did a campaign. They had like on Facebook. They had little trailers for those who are worried about who want to know before watching it, and it basically is like this is a spoiler commercial if you want to know the ending. And they did that for people who
interesting
you know want to know the outcome before going in because you know
what is that dude I totally thought my phone just went off.
Raul Julia ain't messing around.
Holy cow.
Apparently the country's three largest cinema chains are refusing to screen the film because Netflix, the company backing it, is also planning to simultaneously stream the picture. Well, why would the theater not want to get people in for popcorn money if, I mean...
I think they don't want to encourage it, so they're telling...
Oh,
they're telling
protest.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But...
Yeah. It's... Yeah.
Interesting. The Mountain Between Us, let's see, did we... Oh, a $35 million budget on that one, so, I don't know. It's made about $30 million, so it's not doing gangbusters.
He'll get a hit in a couple weeks.
Just, you know what, if they could just... I was talking to someone about this, you know, we've been saying for a decade now, whatever, he should be James Bond, right? And we say, oh, he's too old, but like, do you think there's ever any point where they could just do a standalone or something to get him in there and not have him
do... I don't think now he cannot be James Bond, only because Craig is coming back. They can make... I mean, there's so many different... Like, so Dynamite does James Bond comics, right? Mm-hmm. So they've got the comic books of the traditional character.
Right.
They just did a Felix, whatever his name is, comic.
Felix Leiter.
They just did...
The cat?
Yeah, Felix the cat. That's a boom. That's different.
Oh. Unger?
Yes, it's Felix Unger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm running out of Felixes.
It's, well, you should.
Felix Cavallari?
I don't know who that one is.
Lead singer of the Rascals?
Oh, Jesus.
Have we talked about Paul Revere and the Raiders lately, Dan? Let's...
But there's a
and tri-quarter hats. I mean, you can't go
and
wrong with
this. And they had a Studebaker for a keyboard. Right. But they had a Moneypenny comic. So, like, there's all kinds of stories that can be told.
So
he could
you
just be a different agent.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, that, or could you do a Rogue One, so to speak, type thing? Can you do it out of
the current
continuity?
Yes, they could call it Never Say Never Again, and it's
and
terrible.
again.
Yeah.
You could, or you could just do a you could just not call it a James Bond movie and put him as like a secret agent.
Secret agent.
Ooh. Who's gone rogue?
That's right.
And at the end, he turns and shoots the camera, and a little circle goes around him.
Ooh.
I don't think you could do that.
Yeah. No.
Like you might get in trouble for that one.
That sounds problematic.
Oh, I'm sorry. A hexagon.
Yeah, right.
A black hexagon goes around. Yeah.
Why has it got to be black?
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
That's how the screen goes to black. It doesn't go to green.
So shake it here.
And Andy Triefenbach did Late Night Grindhouse last night, and we saw Friday the 13th Part 6, and the opening of that movie is a riff on the James Bond. Like, it's Jason in the circle, and instead of a gun, like, he just slashes the whole thing and blood comes down. And I was like, I forgot. That was hilarious. Like, that movie is subversely funny.
Is that Jason Takes Manhattan?
No, it's the dab. He
invented the dab?
He invented the dab.
Wow. Yeah.
It's
thanks,
I don't know.
Jason.
It's whatever.
Yeah. So that's that. Coming in at number...
Jason Lives. That's what it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 6, Kingsman: The Golden Circle. That took a 39% drop. It made $5.3 million, bringing it up to $90 million domestic. It has another almost 200 overseas. So if you're wondering if this movie was going to make money, the international
market... I'm glad it
did.
Like, I didn't see it, but like, I didn't want it to fail.
You know, the more I think about it, though, I was having a discussion online with someone again. It was Blake, actually, because Blake saw it. He was going to see Blade Runner. They were sold out, which I don't know how that happens this day and age.
Yeah,
He went to see Kingsman, and we started talking about all the issues that he had with it, and we both agreed it was entertaining. But the more we picked it apart, the more I was like, I did not like that movie. Where I thought it was entertaining at first, but we talked about all this.
This is a podcast, so you can't hear me nodding vociferously.
The more I thought about it, the more I talked about it and went back and forth, I'm like, I would never watch that again.
Because it was awful.
Yeah. I hope he gets Superman. Like, that's the rumor, is that he is the front
runner.
Matthew
Vaughn?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And he did an interview where he's like, no, like, what they need to do with the movie, and they kind of reference going back to, not going back to the 1940s, but like that idea of like who he is. And I was like, well, somebody gets it. Like, let's hope somebody read that. And we're just like,
Superman, the movie, 78. What time period is that?
78.
Is it? It's current.
70s,
okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they
went.
Yeah,
it's present day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just came out in a glorious.
Did you buy that?
No. Yeah. Did they re-release it?
It's the extended cut.
It's the three-hour
cut.
The 188-minute.
I just watched so many versions.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. But
is this the definitive version of
Superman? No, it's the one that was on when they aired it on television the very first time. It became a two-night event.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they had a lot of footage.
They used to do that. Because of Godfather. Godfather kind of started.
And
that.
This is, you know, which was, you know, one of those things that people still refer
to.
It
used to be
like,
when we were growing up, when they would, Easter or Passover, they would actually show the 14 commandments.
Yes. Yes. It's a two-night event.
Is it?
Is it one and two cut, or is it just one?
No, it's all one.
No, it's
really?
One.
Yeah.
They have that much
so
footage?
So, like, there's a cut of two. The Lester cut and the Donner cut of two. Yes.
There's so much footage, right? Because they were
phoned to the same.
They were trying to film both simultaneously.
They were doing
The Three Musketeers trick.
Yeah, this is the first time these guys did this.
The Donner cut of Superman 2 has a lot from Superman 1.
It does.
Right.
Like he spins the planet backwards.
Yeah, that was supposed to be
the ending of 2, not 1. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this movie is
they were
new
going
footage?
To invent the reboot.
This is the in this set that just came out, it is the 188 extended edition and then the Donner edition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they have both on this, but that just came out, which is kind of interesting. It's like they're able to sort of like re-release something that, I mean, just continuously
I mean,
is better.
The fact that they keep finding different cuts of this movie. I didn't know this existed. Like, I had no idea.
I mean, if you saw it on television,
yeah,
no clue.
There was a lot of
because,
it was
a two-night event.
The version that I see on television was the version on our local Channel 11 affiliate, or, you know,
right,
local station here. Like, they would do it on Saturday morning, or
right,
Saturday
but
afternoon.
There was like a mini series right. type version.
I had no clue this was a thing.
Because that's how they used to do The Godfather. Yeah, they would
casino.
There was no home video.
Yeah. Right. Oh, right? Sure.
So they were like, we're going to show that, but guess what? We're going to show it over two nights.
Yeah.
Guaranteed audience. Because you're not going to watch half of it.
That's Superman.
Because he's finally Superman. You're like, oh, well.
Yeah. Halfway through the movie, you're like, damn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Superman going to show up anytime soon?
Oh, no? Yeah. All right. Is he going to kill anybody? Well, I'll take it then.
So coming in at number 7, American Made.
Neck breaking.
American Made brought $5.2 million in. It was a 38% drop. That is now at $40 million domestic. It has about 70 overseas, so 110 on a $50 million budget. So
that's
probably going to make its money back at least.
Yeah, I think probably.
It deserves to make its money back.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Unlike The Mummy.
Oh, yeah, that is... No. Are they still doing that?
I think they've scrapped the whole thing.
I was wondering.
There's trouble afoot in the Dark Universal. What do they call it?
Dark Universe.
Dark Universe. Universal Dark.
Well, they may not call it that
Justice
anymore.
League
Justice
Dark.
League Dark. I don't know. Like, but, it's so weird because I just watched The Wolfman, and like they didn't call it Dark. They just said Universal, but they did the old, like, they did the Universal
homage
logo
to the monster movies, the old monster movies.
Yeah. Well, they did it in black and white.
Yeah,
like it's not this logo. Like it's the current Universal logo.
But, oh, okay.
But it's
the old practical globe that spins around.
Yeah,
that's such a great.
It's a great logo.
Yeah,
but like that's what they should have done. They don't have to call
so
it anything.
So far, the best thing out of this new sort of like shared universe for Universal is the stinger for the logo.
Yep. That's it.
It's like, yeah. That's the best thing I've seen. Dude, good job, Danny.
Your graphic design people crushed
they
it.
Get it.
Yeah.
But you know,
it's unbelievable that they can't, like, we talk about DC and Warner Brothers not being able to figure this out. How Universal cannot fit, like, because they tried with the Wolfman. They tried again with that Luke Evans Dracula movie.
I think the closest they've gotten is Wolfman.
Oh, they absolutely
doing it right. Yeah. I mean, I was still kind of bored by it, but like,
did you see the director's cut?
It's true.
No, it's different.
The spirit is true,
but right. This,
yeah, it's all there. Yeah. You get a good werewolf fight at the end, like two werewolves fighting each other. It was great.
They
don't need to be in a shared universe.
At each other lovingly. And there's some hot werewolf on
hot
werewolf.
They don't
action.
Need to be in a shared. Like it doesn't need to. It doesn't
you,
need
you,
that.
I think you can do that,
but
later. But
it.
You don't need it.
It doesn't need it.
No, you
like,
don't.
I don't
you
need
don't.
To know that. The creature from the Black Lagoon. Guess what? He's friends with the Wolfman. It's like, I don't care.
You know, it's the same mistake they're all making these days is they all want to make the fifth movie in the franchise,
not the first
movie.
Yeah. I think the bright, like, it's so, their choice of movies is also very odd. Like, I got to tell you, The Mummy is boring as F. Like, that story is super boring. Like, and nobody gives a shite about...
Did you watch...
Oh, great. Now we got to edit it in Britain.
Sorry. Does that count?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Right. Scotland, right?
It's,
I think both.
The thing that makes The Mummy scary are, you know, it's a lot of...
it's atmosphere.
Lack of science.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay.
Because back then, when tombs were being opened and people were getting sick... There was a lot of like, oh, it's a curse. It's like, or old contaminated air.
Yeah.
But you know what? What made it scary back then was just a lack of understanding of a lot of
that's
modern
probably
things,
true.
Which is why it's like, so put it in a modern setting.
Yeah.
There's so much like suspension of disbelief that you have to throw at it.
Right.
It's versus like it works then
it
because
really,
it was like that.
Right,
it really takes the horror out of the equation when you can defeat the monster by washing your hands.
Yes.
You get some good old Purell.
Right.
Good to go.
I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, I mean, the reason these, like, a lot of the classic horror movies work in the context of when they came out is because there was less other real horrific
things. It's weird. It's
we
so
didn't
weird.
Know things.
It's so weird you said that. Like, so I just rewatched the original Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And after watching Happy Death Day, I got Halloween, if that movie is released in 2017, it's a PG-13 movie.
Oh yeah,
it's a
bloodless movie.
It's bloodless movie, and there are boobs in it, but like you can edit that. Yeah, like I feel well, like I feel like I in a PG movie, you or PG 13, you might be able to get away with.
I don't know.
I used to be okay with boobs, right. With boobs in PG.
Beastmaster.
Right. 16 candles.
Yep. 16 candles.
But I feel like now.
I think in 20. I think it, yeah, but you can drop. Like, I think you get like a certain. Well, I'm just saying, like you get a certain number of those in a PG 13 movie. Uh-huh. I think you get two Fs. Depending
yeah, I
on
thought
the,
you got one, but I just saw.
I think you get two.
I just the movie Marshall.
Yeah,
I think there were at least three.
But it depends on how they're used.
But it can't be a verb.
Correct.
It can't, can't be. You know, it can't be. Can't be an action word.
Yes.
You know.
And I don't think they say F in Halloween. Yeah. I'm almost positive. Like you get some.
It's interesting.
I just watched it. I don't know.
You don't like. You don't get. There's some shites, but that's it. And then there's no blood. There's one set of boobs, and that's it. Like
a pair. Will,
PJ Souls, thank you very much. But like
Riff Randall,
I think that's you know the only scene that is even remotely violent is the death of Bob, like the guy and he gets stuck in the door.
Yeah,
and but you still don't see. I don't think you see the knife going in.
You know, I was trying to remember. I thought there was another scene with boobs, but it was Donald Pleasance's head.
That's true.
Yeah. Just the back of his.
Just the back of his head.
Yeah, that's the rolls.
That's like, well, she doesn't have a nipple.
He's A number one, the Duke of New York.
A number one. But yeah, like it's just interesting to see that movie in the 1978 context and get a rated R rating compared to 2017, where it was like, no, it's a
well,
solid
it's
PG. 13.
I mean, Tom mentioned it. PG used to be, you know, boobs and curse words and everything. Then PG-13 came out, and then stuff kind of got shuffled to R. But now it's like they're a lot more lenient, and those R's are now going back to PG-13. Shuffle it. You know,
It was very interesting to watch Happy Death Day, and then be like, man, Halloween would have made so much money in 2017 at PG-13.
Right.
Good Lord.
So wrapping this up, My Little Pony, $5 million brings it to $16.9 million on undisclosed budget. The Lego Ninjago movie dropped 37% with 4.4, bringing it to $52 million domestic and 40 overseas, so about 90 on another undisclosed budget. And rounding out the top 10, Victoria and Abdul brought in $3.1 million, which is $12 million total domestically. And let's see, it's got a little bit overseas, so about 20. So we're talking 30-ish on another undisclosed budget. I guess they just don't give those out anymore.
Well, their audience is still in route.
Right.
I think it's because it's such a small movie. Yeah, nobody cares.
Right.
Nobody's bothered to ask them what their budget was.
So $30 million, if it's like a few million dollar budget.
There's no way that movie's not making money. That's not a $30 million
movie. No.
It's about Queen Victoria. They don't make $30 million Queen Victoria movies.
Is that the one with Dame Judi Dench?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Let me back up. It's about Queen Victoria.
Yes.
So who the hell else did you think was going to be in that movie?
My mistake.
Did you not hear that part of it? Or?
That's the law.
Does it come with truffle popcorn?
I hope so.
I bet that sounds awful.
Truffle butter?
I'll take my gross fatty popcorn butter. Thank you very much. Don't get all hoity-toity with me.
Well, don't go to the fancy
theaters. I don't think we were worried about seeing you in this movie.
Not a problem. Man, how awesome would that be? That
was like, I think we need to start putting him on those art house.
What is he doing? He doesn't. No, he doesn't do that stuff.
Yeah. It'd be funny.
That's Brad's job.
No, he does the kids movie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Where he gets crappy kids movie. We're going to start sending you to
eat your vegetables.
Two sisters growing up in rural Ireland.
I've got my iPad out, just watching Captain America.
Getting married. Hotel returns again.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table, and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com slash Tom O'Keefe. I almost forgot the part where all of Facebook is now mine. And you can find the show on Facebook at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or visit our website at RealSpoilers.com. So coming up on the next episode, we will talk about Happy Death Day. We will be the deciders
as to
whether or not it is happy. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, you've been warned. On our days made in Japan.
people, Cherokee tribe, so proud to live, so proud to die.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.